people we've ever had on a Monday night. Blessing to see it. All right, let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. We're studying the book of Revelation, these letters that they're from the Lord to the churches. And as I've said before, in the churches, when a letter is addressed to the churches, it's not necessarily aimed at individual believers in the church. There's always going to be some unbelievers also in the church. But tonight, I'm happy to finally get to this letter to the church of Philadelphia, because these are the good guys. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. Revelation 3, verse number 7. The Bible says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Father in heaven, Lord, again, we just seek your guidance, your instruction tonight, your Holy Spirit filling us. Lord, help us to receive what you have for us tonight and to take action where it's needed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is the great Philadelphia church, the great church of the open door. This is the church that the Lord loves because this church here loves his word. This is the church to whom God gives the open door. This is the church to whom the Lord gives promise after promise. No word of censure here, no word of condemnation, no word of correction for this church. And you'll notice in verse number 12 there, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." That speaks of stability and strength, a pillar. Notice in the 12th verse, "I will write upon him my new name." And then in verse 10, "I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Okay? Well, it's a lot of promises we'll be covering over the next few weeks, but all of this is based upon verse number 8, "Hast kept my word." And verse number 10, "Thou hast kept the word of my patience." Why is this church found in favor with God? Because they kept God's word. Why is this church found blessed of God? Because they kept God's word. Why is this church given opportunities at an open door that no other church that we've read about was given? Because they kept God's word. Nothing about the size of the church, nothing about the education of the church, nothing about the wealth or the prosperity of the church, nothing about the persons that made up the church or the educational background. No, God honors his word, and those that honor God's word, God will honor them. He's not going to open a door of opportunity to Bible correctors. He's not going to open a door of opportunity to Bible critics. He's not going to open a door of opportunity to those who ignore the Bible. He's not going to open a door of opportunity to those who think, well, yeah, the Bible has a good message or a good theme, yeah, or it has some good ideas. No, he's going to bless and open wide a door of opportunity to those who keep his word. Amen. So if you want God's blessing in your life and upon your family, upon your church, upon your ministry, you'd better be careful how you handle God's word. Better be real careful about that thing right there. And we'll be talking more about that, God willing, in a later lesson. Let me give you a little background on this church, this area. The name Philadelphia means brotherly love. Brotherly love. The city was built by Attalus Philadelphus in 159 to 138 B.C. Him the epithet, brother lover. That's what they called him, brother lover, because he loved his brother. Philadelphia stood at the place where the borders of three countries, Lycia, Media, and Phrygia met, and commanded one of the greatest highways of the world, the one leading from Europe to the east. Philadelphia was a missionary city. It was founded to promote unity of spirit, customs, and loyalty within the realm. It was a successful teacher. Before AD 19, the native tongue had ceased to be spoken in Lydia, and Greek was the only language of the country. Its evolution was about 900 feet, the physical elevation of the country, and it lay in the edge, on the edge of a great place called the Burnt Land, which was a volcanic area and was one of the most fertile areas of the world and was a great growing area. They grew grapes. Their wines were a source of prosperity. It also had many hot springs and was therefore a center to which the infirm, sick people, came to bathe in the medicinal waters. The products of Philadelphia's prosperity, everything they made, went out to the ends of the earth, and into the city came people from many lands in search of health and healing. All right, well, where other churches in other cities that we've looked at in Revelation 2 and 3 had wealth come in to their congregation, and that wealth corrupted and destroyed those people and their testimony, the church at Philadelphia, because they kept God's word, they realized wealth could be a blessing or wealth could be a curse. They realized that material prosperity could be a tool. It could be a tool or it could be a shackle. They realized that their locale, where they were located, so many people coming and going, and their opportunities could be for them a source of great blessing or a source of great cursing. But because they kept God's word, they knew what to do with their jobs. They knew what to do with their money. They knew what to do with their opportunities. And instead of using their wealth to become fat and comfortable, instead of using their wealth to become careless and indifferent, instead of using their wealth to settle down and become worldly, they used their wealth to send the gospel to the four corners of the world. Now, I thank the Lord that I was born in the United States of America. I appreciate the luxury. I appreciate the comfort. I appreciate the ease that I was able to enjoy in the land a long time ago. And, you know, an American might say that he's poor. He might say he doesn't have what another man has, But I tell you what, the poorest family on welfare in America is rich by the standards of this world. The American that thinks he's poor, he needs to visit Haiti or Honduras or Eastern Europe or Russia or Vietnam or Cambodia. I wish I could just drop some of the whining Americans into one of those places so they'll stop complaining about being poor. God has blessed the United States tremendously, and I think it's safe to say that God has blessed the expatriates here in Kuwait above our fellow countrymen back home, wherever we come from. We are wealthy beyond the dreams of the average person. Am I going to use my wealth to purchase yet more things to distract me from the work of God? Am I going to use my wealth to so feather my nest that I don't want to leave my nest? Am I going to use my wealth to bind me to the things of this world and obligate me to the cares of this life to such an extent that I'm not doing anything wrong, but I'm not able to do anything right? Anything that would have any eternal value. The church in Philadelphia was the church of brotherly love. They loved the souls of the human race more than they loved their own prosperity. They loved the lives of men and women. They loved the people that God had created more than they loved all the things that their money could buy. I'm going to tell you something. God will bless a church that keeps his word. And a church that keeps his word will find in that word that there is a principle regarding work. Okay? I follow that principle regarding work. God blesses me for following his principle. But then the Word of God tells me even how to be blessed in that blessing. Amen. That job is not an end in itself. That paycheck is not an end in itself. That reward is not an end in itself. That is a tool to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it becomes anything more than that, it ceases to be a tool. It becomes a burden. It becomes a drudgery. It becomes a curse. I'm going to tell you something, and, well, you can like it or not. We're not under the law, okay? We're under the grace of God. You don't have to give 50 fils. You don't have to give a ruba. You don't have to give a dinar. You don't have to give 10 dinars. I don't want one person coming in here to visit and thinking it's just another money racket. We're not all that concerned about who's giving and who's not giving because God is meeting all of our needs. We're not going to do like a lot of churches do, put a big old picture of a thermometer up here to show how much people gave this week compared to last week and that kind of nonsense. But I'm telling you something, a man in a foreign land without a Bible, without a missionary, without a gospel tract, without a recording of the Word of God in one form or another, that person can be saved if I love that man more than I love my money. It's not about having to give. Nobody has to give. And God doesn't want any money from a man or a woman that felt they had to give it. But the Church of Brotherly Love wanted to do whatever they could for God. Amen. I've said this before, and it's the truth. I have never sat in the home of a man or a family that was in financial difficulty that could say, I have consistently and faithfully given of my income to the work of the gospel. And I've never sat in the home of a man who truthfully said, I have faithfully and consistently given to the work of the gospel, who was in any kind of financial trouble. In other words, the ones who were not faithful in giving, they had financial trouble. The ones who were faithful in giving, they didn't have any trouble with their money. Now, you can take that or you can leave it. But I'm telling you something, that same covetous spirit that makes you despise giving to the work of God, that's the same covetous spirit that's going to wreck you financially. Covetousness will mess you up. You just mark it down. And it's not that you don't think you need to give. It's not that you care about being under the law or under grace. Your problem is you love your money more than you love the souls of men, if that's your case. Now, the church at Philadelphia, they took advantage of their situation. They took advantage of their opportunity because they kept the word of God. And because they kept the word of God, their heart condition was right. And they saw, what did they see? I'm in this earth for a little while, just a little while. My neighbor's in this earth for just a little while. I know the way to heaven. He doesn't know the way to heaven. What better use of my time, my talents, my resources than telling that man how to get to heaven? That's the church in Philadelphia. They weren't busy building monuments to themselves. They weren't busy building monstrosities. They weren't busy trying to have the finest architecture in the state. And I think you understand what I'm talking about. No, they were doing all that they could to go through the door that God had opened for them. And God opened the door for them because he saw in their heart a willingness to go through the door. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. And if God sees a willingness in your heart to give the gospel to people who don't have it, God will open wide the door of opportunity so that you can help those people get the gospel. Amen. When God sees that you've got a burden to serve him, when he sees you've got a burden to do something for him, you know what he'll do? In strange ways, in miraculous ways, and yes, even in ordinary ways, God will lead you to a congregation. God will lead you to a church leadership that will help you find an open door of opportunity. Anybody here, if you genuinely, from your heart, you wanted to do something for God, we would find something for you to do for God. And if you're already busy ministering in one way or another here in Kuwait, it's because God saw in your heart that you wanted to preach the gospel to the lost. God saw in your heart a willingness to abandon free time and spare time and play time and give your all to the souls of men. And for those who have kept God's words, God opens wide the doors of opportunity. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's God's command. And if he finds a man or a woman willing to obey that command, he'll find that person a place in this world to preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He said, I'm praying for laborers to send forth into my harvest. When God sees in the heart of a woman or a young person an interest to enter that field of labor, don't you worry about it. God will put you to work in his harvest field. Amen. All right, well, let me show you some verses about these open doors. Let's go, first of all, to 1 Corinthians. An open door in your Bible always has to do with a new area for or an opportunity in ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. How did the Apostle Paul get all those churches started? How did the Apostle Paul win all those believers to God? How did the Apostle Paul accomplish all that he accomplished in the ministry? He was willing in his heart to forsake every trace of his past life and completely surrender himself to the ministry of the Word of God. And so when God saw that heart in that man, God opened the doors of opportunity unto him. I mean, listen, if your heart's right, if your heart is right, the God who is not willing that any man die without the truth, the God who has left it the responsibility of saved people to carry that truth, if God sees in you the willingness to carry the truth of the Word of God, don't you worry about it. God will give you more to do than you've got hours in the day to get it done. He sure will. Our trouble is we're running around trying to set up the right situation and get the right circumstances and the right conditions. And let me tell you something. When God sees you're willing to go and hand out tracts just out there along the seaside, when God sees you're willing to go down to the Catholic Church like we did one time and witness to some people coming out of there or going in there, when God sees that you're willing to preach wherever there's people who need to hear the gospel, whether there's a church building or not, whether there's a pulpit or not, when God sees that you're willing to go into the rooms of the hospitals and spend some time with the people and spend some time with their families and then give them the gospel, when God sees a willingness to carry the good news, don't you worry. God will open the door so wide you could drive a bus through it, a double-decker. We just need to worry about our heart. We got people worrying about, well, I want to be in this preaching circuit. I want to be in that circuit. I want an open invitation over here. I want an opportunity over there. I want. Get your heart right. Sell out in your heart to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to give your all to the souls of men that they might hear the gospel. And if you have a heart full of brotherly love, and if you have a conscience void of offense with regard to keeping God's word, God will give you plenty to do. Now, you know why? Do you know why no matter how this church grows, if it goes from 20 to 40, from 40 to 80, from 80 to 120, listen, it doesn't matter how much this church grows, there will always be something for everyone to do that walks through those doors. As long as we want to do all that we can to see the lost saved, and as long as we don't mess with this book, God's book, God will open wide the doors and there will be enough work to do for everybody to stay busy all day and all night. We just got to make sure our heart's right toward God. Our heart's right toward the lost. Our heart's right toward this book. And God will open up those doors. You don't have to worry about that. You know how much we can get done before God comes back? Nobody has any idea. If we want to reach the whole world with the truth of the Word of God, all we got to do is stay the course. God will open the doors, and there's no doubt in my mind about that. All right, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen, if we keep our hearts right and we stay true to God's word, every passing year we will see a greater sphere of influence and a broader scope of operations laid before us by God. And the more Philadelphians that we have, the more men and women whose hearts are filled with brotherly love, the greater the opportunities for service. We've got to all be trained. We've got to all be ready. We've got to all be learning this book and studying God's word, because there's something for everyone to do who wants to do it. No question about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach, Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now, look, he didn't say, when I came to Troas to fish, when I came to Troas for a vacation, when I came to Troas to open a business, or whatever else it might be. No. Listen, the desire of the heart of Paul the Apostle was to preach the gospel. The desire of the heart of God was that men everywhere hear the gospel. Now, if God wants people to hear the gospel and you are willing to give them the gospel, you can't convince me that God is not going to open for you a door of opportunity to do it. People worry about what God's will is, but they get it wrong. Do I buy the red car or the blue car? There's nothing like that in the Bible. Do I live in the brick house or the wood frame house? Nothing like that in the Bible. Do I eat vegetables or do I eat meat? Nothing about that in the Bible. What's in the Bible is that God is not willing that any should perish, and that God has given his Holy Spirit to his saved people to empower them and to enable them to preach the gospel. It's God's will that every man hear the good news. If I'm willing to give every man the good news, watch the door swing open wide. It's the heart. It's your heart. It's my heart. It's the Philadelphian heart. Look at the verse again. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel. Now, the door was not open before he went to Troas. The door was not opened when he got to Troas. The door opened when he got there to do what God wanted done. How about that? Now, I'm glad that we're able to record the sermons and the Bible lessons and put them on the internet so that people all over the world who want to know the Bible can visit our church page and learn the Bible for free. And I think it's lacking a little bit. I think we ought to work on the search engine so people can find our page with search terms like learn the Bible or what is the gospel or what does the Bible say about this subject or that subject, and then link it to a message or lesson on that subject. That'd be pretty neat, helpful. We could help a lot more people that way, I think. But not everybody in the world has access to internet. I know it's hard to believe, but some people don't even know what the internet is. That's why I'm glad we support missionaries, preachers like Brother Roach in India, who broadcasts his preaching on the radio every week, as well as putting it on YouTube. You can see him preach on YouTube. And Pastor Artes in the Philippines is preparing to preach on the radio. But radio, again, that's a good way to get to broadcast that message of God, but it has range limitations. Radio has range limitations, time restrictions, and it costs money. So you need to look for another door to extend the reach of your ministry. Okay, I'd like to have a thing going where any preacher in the world who didn't have a Bible could write to us and we'd send them a Bible. I'd like to have a thing going to where anybody who didn't know Jesus in the world could write and we'd send them that gospel message. We'd get them the information they seek. I'd like to have something going where any man who would keep God's word and live his life for the souls of men that needed help getting on the foreign field, we could get them on that foreign field. We could help them. You say, so what are you doing about that? I'm doing everything I can with the resources at my disposal, knowing that that is the way to see an increase of resources and an increase of opportunities. The more you do faithfully, the more you do properly, biblically, the more God will give you to do. How wide a door can he open? How many doors can he open? You don't have to worry about that. You just need to make sure in your heart that you love the souls of men and women and that you're keeping God's word. And the Lord will take care of those open doors. He'll take care of that. Let me show you another one. Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts 14. I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. Okay, well, listen, you say, I want to be in full-time ministry. Okay, you do? If you've got 30 spare minutes a day, and you're not using those 30 minutes for ministry, God is not going to entrust you with 24 hours a day in ministry. He's not going to do it. You say, I'd like to be an evangelist and preach the gospel to every creature. If you haven't walked down the hall of your building and preached the gospel to your next door neighbor, why would God send you on an evangelistic circuit? You say, yes, sir, if I won the lottery, I'd write God a check for $100,000. No, you wouldn't. If you won't give 5 KD to God out of 50, you know good and well you're not going to give him 500,000 out of 5 million. It's not going to happen. But listen, God's not interested in hearing what kind of doors you would like to go through or what kind of opportunities you would like to have. He knows who he can trust. He knows who he can't trust. He knows who he can give time to and who he can't. He knows who he can give ministry to and who he can't. He knows who he can give opportunities to and who he can't. We got to make sure our heart is right. If our heart's right and our desire is right, then we'll have plenty to do. Amen. Acts 14 and verse number 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So notice, they came together, the church is gathered. They rehearsed all that God had done, not for them, all that God had done, not to them, but all that God had done with them. I think I mentioned this recently about Abraham's servant, how he made that great statement in Genesis 24, verse 27. Remember, he said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I, being in the way, here I am, I'm going, I'm moving, I'm on my way. Now the Lord can lead me. That, remember that? Okay. The Holy Spirit of God wants to work with you to carry out the work of the gospel. He's not going to force you to do what he wants you to do, and he's not going to give you the privilege of instructing him as to how you're going to serve. Okay, God, here's the way I see it. I'll do this and this and this, but I won't do that and that and that. And so I'm going to sit here and do absolutely nothing until I can do what I want to do. Well, get used to sitting there doing absolutely nothing. Because the head of the church knows where the members of the body belong. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. The head of the church knows what parts of the body can do what. And he's not waiting for you to tell him how to run his church. He's waiting for you to get your heart right and be willing to do whatever he wants you to do. And watch the gate swing wide open. Now, we just talked about this a little over a month ago in our Bible study in Luke's gospel, when we talked about stewardship, and where Jesus said in Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If you really want to do something for the Lord, you will do whatever you find to do, no matter how small it may seem. And if you do that faithfully and without complaint, then God, seeing that you can be trusted with that which is least, will give you something else to do. And you just watch those doors open once you show yourself to be faithful to go through the door that God's opened, that God has opened for you, and to do whatever you're called upon to do. That's how God opens doors of opportunity. If you do what you can, God will increase what you can do. If you'll do what you can do for God, God will entrust you with all the more. You know what God does? He opens a small door. And you say, no, no, I don't want that little door. I want a big door, or I'm not doing anything. And what you don't know, is that behind door number one is the key to God being able to use you beyond your expectations. You may have had hopes of having a ministry that would benefit the whole community where you live. And because you went through that door, through door number one that God opened for you, and then door number two, years later, you might just find out that you're getting the gospel into people's homes all around the world. But if you're not willing to go through the little door, you won't get the middle-sized door. If you're not willing to go through the middle-sized door, you don't get the big door. And some men have said, well, I won't go hold a sign up on the street corner, but if I get asked to go hold a revival meeting, I'll do that. They're not going to get asked. Somebody says, I'm not going to go hand out gospel tracts, but if I got a chance to go teach a Sunday school class, I'd do that. I'd like to do that. You're not going to get that chance. I'm telling you, God's not looking for talent. He's not looking for ability. He's not looking for training. He's not looking for culture or even education and that sort of thing. He's looking for a heart of brotherly love. And he's looking for a heart that will hold fast to his word. If your heart relation to the lost and dying world is right, and your heart relation to this word, God's word, is right, God will open the doors for you. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to kick those doors in or knock them down. God will be the one opening the doors. Amen. Now, for every saved person, there are four doors that are already open. Number one, every saved person has a missionary opportunity in their family, among their friends, their neighbors, and their co-workers. So you want to be a preacher? You can preach. I just told you who you could preach to. You want to be a Bible teacher? You can teach. You want to be a missionary? Carry that good news. Would you like to be an evangelist? You can evangelize. You have that open door. There's opportunities to your right, opportunities to your left, opportunities all around you that God has already given you to preach the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, it is certain that in Philadelphia, there were a great many Jews. That's what it said in Revelation 3:9. We read it. It's certain that a great many of the Christians had converted from Judaism. When they were saved, they would find the synagogue door was shut in their faces. They would be excommunicated, cursed as apostates, and shut out. And to this day, those coming to Jesus Christ among the Muslims, the Mormons, the Catholics, the Jews, other false religions, find themselves similarly cast out. They're outcasts. To all of these, the Savior is saying, men may exclude you from their fellowship, but the door is wide open. You can come and sup with me at my table anytime you want. Thank God for the open door of fellowship in the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, the door may be read as none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the door. He said in John chapter 10, I am the door. In the ancient sheepfold, there was no gate, no door, only an opening in the wall through which the sheep passed. When the sheep were all gathered within the fold, the shepherd himself lay down across that opening so that no one could get in except through him, over him. The shepherd himself was literally the door. So then Jesus is to us the door to the Father's house. Through him we enter in, and what a blessing. What an open door. Now you know something, the reason some of God's people are not so excited about that open door to go and preach is because they've not been going often enough through the open door to the fellowship church house and being there encouraged to go through the open door to personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. You spend enough time in fellowship with Jesus Christ, you spend enough time in the companionship of those who are seeking to serve the Lord, that will help to excite and to encourage you to go through the open door of missionary opportunity. You can say what you want. There's very few people on the face of the earth that are self-motivated to serve the Lord. Very few people that'll say, I don't care if anybody goes with me. I don't care if anybody helps me. I don't care if anybody else likes what I'm doing. I'm going on for Jesus Christ, whether anybody goes with me or not. Most of us need the support and the encouragement and the fellowship and the companionship of others that might keep us going for Jesus. You can say what you want. The more you lay out of the church house, you don't go to church, the less you're going to appreciate the desire, the open door of missionary opportunity. The more you absent yourself from the prayer closet, the less motivation and the less burden you're going to have for the open door of missionary opportunity. Those are just the facts. You can, it's been tested and tried. Finally, number four, the door may also be a door of prayer, a standing invitation to come into the presence of the Lord and make our requests known unto him. What a blessing that God said, because ye have brotherly love, because you've kept my word, I've set before you an open door. Come back to Revelation now, chapter 3. I tell you, this is a blessing. Revelation 3, verse number 7. Look at the end of that verse. Verse 7. He that openeth, and no man shutteth. And verse number 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Okay, you believe that? You tell me then, what decree the government legislature can pass to keep you from going into the presence of God and speaking to him in prayer? They think they can do that in America. They can't. They can't shut that door. You tell me what law they can pass to prohibit you from walking and talking in communion with the door of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep you out of heaven. They can't do it. You tell me what law they can pass to keep you from fellowshipping with God's people. You say, well, they might arrest you. They might shoot you before a firing squad or something. Okay, and do what? Send you to the big church house. They can't stop you from fellowshipping with God's people. And I'm going to tell you something. You can preach the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ as long as you're alive on the face of this earth. They may jail you. You preach in jail. They may exile you. Preach in exile. They may throw you out of town. Preach in the next town. They may kill you. All right, well, I told you. You preach the gospel as long as you lived. Nobody can shut that door. What a blessing. You know, all these criticizing, carnal-mouthed church people that cause street preachers so much grief out there, you know what they can do? You know what they can do to stop the work of God that God's given those street preachers? Absolutely nothing. You know what that lying bunch of people operating that news media with all of their false stories and their misquotes and everything else? Do you know what they can do to stop a church that's doing God's work? Absolutely nothing. You know what all those people that have never darkened the door of any church house, but who think they're authorities on what a cult is and what a church ought to let people do and not do? You know what they can do to hinder what God's given the church to do? Absolutely nothing. Did you know if every disgruntled carnal Christian got together somewhere and told dirty, rotten stories about the churches that were doing something for the Lord, did you know they couldn't keep one person being drawn by the Spirit of God from joining one of those churches and becoming part of that work? Listen, if God's opened this door, We don't have to fight that crowd. If God's opened this door, we don't have to get involved in that mudslinging business. If God's opened this door, nobody can stop it. So we'll just keep our heart right with God, keep our approach right to the Bible, and just let the church roll on. Let the heathen rage. Let the heathen imagine a vain thing. What are they going to do? Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." Are we his church? Well, then, can the gates of hell prevail against us? Well, let's just tear it up then, man. All right, let me finish with this. Verse number 7, again, at the end of the verse. "He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." If you're here tonight, and you have never, now I don't care if you've been baptized 20 times, I'm not talking about that. I don't care how many churches you've joined, I'm not talking about that. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need that personal relationship before that door is shut. God put a man and a woman in a garden. He told them not to sin. They sinned. He threw them out of the garden. He set up a cherubim there with a sword to guard the way. And no matter how much that man and that woman wanted to get back in that garden, that door was shut and they could not get in. God shut that door. Well, God sent Noah to build an ark. He told the people a flood was going to come. They laughed and they said, "I don't believe that stuff." He said, "It's going to rain. It's going to drown everybody." They said, "I don't believe that. I believe God's a God of love. I don't believe he'd judge everybody like that." And Noah went into the ark with his family. God shut the door, the Bible says. And when that rainwater started to fall, those people started to drown. They could pound on that door and beat on that door all they want, but God had shut it, and it wasn't coming open. I'm going to tell you something. God does not want you in hell. He does not want you in hell. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for your sins so that you could go to heaven, because that's where he wants you to go. But if you thumb your nose at Jesus Christ, if you reject the gospel and say, "I don't want to be some Bible-thumping Christian like that preacher," I'm going to tell you something. You will die, you will wake up in hell, and you can beg God for a million years to open a door that will let you out of hell and into heaven, but that door is shut and no man is going to open it. You're in hell where God didn't want you to go, and you're not getting out. Doesn't matter what you think about the tone of my voice or how long I preach or how I cut my hair or the fact that I wear a tie. I don't like them any more than you do, but it's just part of the territory, one of those things you got to do. I know maybe our music sounds funny to you. That's the way those things go. I know you think it's strange that we would actually enjoy doing this. I know what people say. I know all about that stuff. But here's what I'm telling you. There is a door. Jesus Christ is the door. Now, because I'm saved, I've been on the outside of that door and on the inside of the door. I know what's on both sides. If you're not saved, you've been on the outside of the door, but you've never been on the inside of the door, never seen it. So guess who doesn't know what they're talking about? It's not me. It's you. You've only been on one side. You can't tell me the outside's better than the inside, and the inside's no good. You've only seen one side. I've been on both sides. I'm telling you, it's better on the inside. Amen? Now, I'm in a better position to make a judgment than you are, because I've been both places. And I'm telling you, I'd rather be on the inside of the door and kept in there in safety than to be on the outside of the door and kept out there in doom. Amen. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. The inside, the outside. On which side are you? Right now, the door's open. If you die tonight, that door is shut for you. Right now, the door is open. If Jesus comes tonight and that door's shut against you, you'll never get in. You'll never get in. Bible says in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." He will abundantly pardon. You need his pardon. It'd be a terrible thing to drown in the flood when you could have been in the ark. It'd be a terrible thing to die in the desert when you could have been in the Garden of Eden. And it will be a terrible thing to be burning in hell when you could have been rejoicing in heaven. Right now, that door is open. You better enter while you can. You don't know when it's going to close. The door of opportunity, the door of salvation. God could shut that door at any time. Don't wait. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us an open door. Thank you for showing us that we need to be careful about our heart condition. We need to be willing to go when you open the door for us and do whatever you have for us to do so that we can be useful to you and to the souls of men and women on this earth. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody who has not yet gone through the open door of salvation, that tonight would be the night that they enter that door, receive your free gift of salvation, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.